to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies, gentlemen, it is time for the NXT Podcast once again. I am very excited to join you for a very fun wrestling-filled episode of NXT. There wasn't a lot of fat on this episode. We're continuing the Dusty Classic. We have some escalating really good matches going on. Couple fun facts before we get started. My dog likes to run over as I yell at the beginning of the intro, and now he's attacking me. He's a little poodle, but he turns into a lion, and he's attacking his father. That's not cool. Also, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble just a little bit here. And on the notes app that I take my notes on, Bianca auto-corrects to Nuance. So I just noticed that it says Nuance Belair, and that's a terrible name. And it's just, it's probably not funny, but it was funny enough that I said it on a podcast, so here we are. Now, Royal Rumble happened on Sunday. Obviously, you know what happened or you've seen it. I am going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, so go ahead and click off now until you haven't seen it. But for the Women's Royal Rumble, we have Bianca Belair as our winner, and for the Men's Royal Rumble, we have Edge as our winner. Both will be going to WrestleMania to challenge for the titles of their choosing. Bianca technically has a choice between the Raw Women's Championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship, and the NXT Women's Championship. She'll obviously be picking, you would think, Sasha Banks. Now, Edge has a choice as well, as he won the Royal Rumble. He has a chance to go after the WWE champion, currently Drew McIntyre on Raw. He can go after Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion on SmackDown, or, as he hinted at tonight, he could go after the NXT champion, Finn Balor. Now, Bianca's choice is pretty clear. They've been building Bianca by having her beat Bayley, and WrestleMania, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks is just too good to pass up. So I'm absolutely good with that being our WrestleMania match. That's going to be a fantastic build-up. It's going to be an even better match. Edge is more interesting because while I can't see Bianca challenging anybody but Sasha Banks, I kind of can see Edge challenging any of these three. Now, it makes the most sense for him to go after Roman Reigns. They have never had a match as far as I can remember. Edge was out for 9 years. Roman wasn't that guy yet. But if he goes after Drew, that's a babyface and a good guy versus another babyface or a good guy. They could have an excellent match, an excellent build-up. I think Drew actually probably needs it more than Roman does. But I think that we're doing Sheamus for Drew right now, and then somebody else for Drew, maybe John Cena down the road. He could certainly go after Roman Reigns. That would be a great story. They're both really good promos in their roles. Edge is a better babyface than I remember him being back when he was a full-time wrestler. He came back, obviously, as a babyface or a good guy at the last Royal Rumble, and he's been a good guy ever since. And he, for his career, has been a career bad guy. He's one of those guys that just fits as a bad guy. He's like Kevin Owens, where he can be a good guy, but he's just naturally a bad guy. In this case, he's had some time off. He's clearly been working on his promos and hasn't lost a step there, nor in the ring, really. But he's an excellent good guy. And I think that him versus Roman, even if he doesn't win, having a match at WrestleMania for the Universal Championship, the one title he has never held, that could be very, very interesting. As we said, he also teased tonight that he could go after the NXT title. Now, he's not going to, but that segment tonight was devised to give a little bit of steam to NXT. It builds interest this week because the Royal Rumble winner Edge is going to be on NXT for the first time. It also helps put over Finn Balor, the NXT champion, and Pete Dunne, who's currently, I guess, the number one contender. So it allowed us to kind of have Edge put those guys over. That's what Edge wants to do anyway. And Edge said from the beginning, this run, however long it is, he wants to focus on working with guys, imparting his knowledge, and telling really good stories. And I believed him when he said that he's never held the NXT title, and it's intriguing to him. I really believe that. I do not think that they'll have him go after the NXT title, but boy, that would be fun if he was. I feel like it would be what they wanted to do with Charlotte Flair when she was the women's champion, but it would work because Edge is interested in just making these guys better, and Edge looked pretty cool in NXT. But I think we have him marked down against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and I'm excited. Goldberg lost. That's fantastic. Please go away now for 6 months, and we'll see you wherever. Still don't know why he was in a WWE Championship match. It's reported that they didn't feel like anybody else was ready for that spot. I would say that's not so much that people aren't ready. It's that you have left everybody to stagnate. And because you've left everybody to stagnate and haven't put them in positions that would make them ready, that they aren't. So I'd say that's more on you than the performers. And to say that the performers aren't ready is much more a reflection on you than it is any of them. Not to mention that there are tons of people that could go against Drew. You just don't want them to. So we use Goldberg because, you know, why not dust off one of the legends we have that'll actually come back, especially during a pandemic when there's no actual fans in the arena? Cool. They had their little match. Goldberg's not a good wrestler. Drew did what he could with him, and he retained the title. Anytime Goldberg's involved in a title match, it's ridiculous, and you have to worry about him winning. Because I didn't think he was going to beat The Fiend either, and I didn't think he was going to beat Kevin Owens, and here we are. There was a talk of a report of a plan that there was a plan that reportedly people backstage were scared. I can't think of a way to say it without swearing on this show. S-less nailed it on happening, and we don't know what that plan was. But it certainly seems like that would either be Goldberg winning the WWE Championship, which would be insane, or Goldberg entering the Royal Rumble and winning, which, boy, would also be insane. Because then, presumably, you're having him face Roman for the Universal title, and Goldberg is the good guy that I'm supposed to root for in that. That would be cool for Roman. It would be the first time at WrestleMania that he's actually supposed to get booed, but he gets cheered. So maybe that would be fun from that angle. Other than that, I don't think we have anything good. So the plus here is that Drew is still your WWE champion and Goldberg isn't, and Goldberg's probably going to go away for a while. And that's always worth celebrating. As I said, we have Edge here in NXT tonight. It's a great way to use Edge. Edge is absolutely the kind of guy that would want to stop by NXT and put some people over. We're starting, though, with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez out for the semifinal match in the Dusty Cup. They're going against Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Fun fact, Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro's names both start with a K and a C. That is fantastic. I don't know if Caden and Casey were friends before this, but I bet you that one of the reasons they put them together as a team is because Caden Carter is Casey and Casey Catanzaro is Casey. Is that a stupid reason to put people together as a team? Absolutely. Did I chuckle out loud to myself and I guess just to my dog because it's both a Casey and I was proud of myself for noticing? Also, yes. So maybe it's a good idea. I don't know. It is worth noting that Casey and Caden, hard to say, back-to-back, have come a long way wrestling-wise, especially Casey. She was an Ultimate, what is that show? Ultimate Warrior? Ninja Warrior. There it is. She was a Ninja Warrior contestant who came to the Performance Center and at first did a bunch of Ninja Warrior stuff and didn't have the wrestling part down yet. She's become a pretty good wrestler, man. This is a good match that they're putting on. Credit here probably to Dakota Kai, who is kind of like the Dolph Ziggler of NXT. She's taken a little bit more seriously than that, but she's really good at making other people look good, and she's actually too good and willing to do that, so that's all that they use her for. Like, Io Shirai and Finn Balor are also good at that, but they will get their stuff in. Dakota is too good at making her opponent look really good, and Dolph had that same problem, where he will sell his butt off for you, and he will make you look like $1 million, but the problem is, that means that every new person that comes to the roster has to go through Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler piles up losses, and then you don't take him seriously. He gets put in a championship match against Drew McIntyre or Kofi Kingston, and although he's been a world champion before, you certainly don't buy it. That's kind of what's happening with Dakota Kai. I'm glad she has something to do and people to work with, but she is the resident polisher of NXT in the women's division. Where put her in there with whoever, she will make them look good, and they feel like they can have her lose, and it's no big deal. And I guess it's not for what they want to do with her going forward, but it's something to kind of keep an eye on, because I don't think her role's going to change a whole lot. They're having their match. Raquel hits the, I don't know if it's a one-arm chokeslam or one-arm powerbomb, but either way, it looks like it hurts a lot. Move, and they pick up the win, so Dakota and Raquel are either going to face the team of Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, or the team of Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon in the finals. If we're just going by traditional wrestling logic, Dakota and Raquel are bad guys. So are Candice and Indy, so it would be Shotzi and Ember that win, because they're good guys. But you could certainly have Candice and Indy go against them as well. I would think it would be Shotzi and Ember in that then, because you want the good guy, bad guy dynamic. But if they do all bad guys, that's certainly fine too. We have a promo for Legado del Fantasma, basically reminding you how great they are. And then that leads into Lucha House Party versus Legado del Fantasma. Just the two dudes, no Santos Escobar. Boy, oh boy, this is a good match. These dudes are killing each other out here. Legado hits a cool double team move and they pick up the win. I don't even know what to call it and move on. So Legado will face MSK in the semifinals. MSK's music hits. They come out to cut a quick promo on Legado. I'm going to be nice. They seem very excited to be cutting a promo. It was okay. It's not their fault. It had some of the cornerstone WWE weird lines that they put in there, but MSK is an exciting team. I don't know if mic work is their strong point or if their stuff is just being written weird. I'm not sure which one it is. I don't know how much scripting there is in NXT versus the main roster, but they're very good in the ring, so that should help. If they want to focus on tag teams going forward, which they haven't much, then MSK is going to be a really good team for that. And again, it's a really good way to debut a team, having them go this far in the tournament. We see that black SUV and Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch pull up. Also, fun fact, Oney Lorcan autocorrects to Money Lorcan, which is, can't decide if that's a much worse or a much better name. But Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Money Lorcan pull up. This group doesn't seem the same at all without Pat McAfee. That's no disrespect to Pete Dunne or Danny Burch or Money Lorcan, but Pat McAfee being the mouthpiece for this group and being the unofficial manager really added something to it, and he was good at getting heat with promos and basically creating a mess that they cleaned up. And without him, it doesn't seem like these dudes should still be a group, because what, why? But B, it kind of feels not the same. I don't know why Pat McAfee isn't here, but it doesn't feel as special. So I hope that if he's going to be around, he's around soon, because It's kind of Pete Dunne's group now, and Pete Dunne is absolutely capable of having a group by himself, but it doesn't help a lot when it was already Pat McAfee's group, and then without a real explanation, he's just not around and you don't mention him, which is weird because he didn't do anything that would like make you scrub him off of all future shows and mentions that I'm aware of. He just was there one week and now he's not there. That kind of sucks, especially for these guys. So they walk through the back and they're in the ring. Pete Dunne says that he told Finn to his face that he's not waiting anymore. So he snapped his fingers last week. He said, "Don't force me to make it any more clear than that." That's about all Finn needs to hear. So his music hits, and here's our NXT champion. It is insane how much more important Finn is and how much more seriously he is taken here in NXT. If you'll remember, Finn was in NXT. He was one of the early NXT champions. He had the title for a long time, had a bunch of great matches. He gets called up to Raw in the draft, and they have everybody on the stage. You don't see him, and then they're basically having qualifying matches for a final match at SummerSlam for the Universal title, which at the time was a new title. The crowd was very busy booing the fact that the belt was red. And it's weird. People don't seem to have a problem now that it's blue. It's just the red that was particularly offensive about it. And the fact that it is the WWE title just dipped in paint. But the crowd kind of separates, and it's Finn Balor, and the crowd goes crazy. And they were mad at Roman Reigns for something. I think in real life it was a violation of the wellness policy or something. In storyline, it was because he failed to win the WWE title, and Dean Ambrose took it to SmackDown. So because Roman's being punished in real life and in storyline, Finn ends up winning that qualifying match. Seth Rollins, of course, wins the other one. And I remember on that first Raw, nobody thought Finn was winning that qualifying match. They thought that was a cool intro for him. That was a really good match. I think it was a fatal four-way. I forget who else was in the match. No, I could be wrong. Could have just been him and Roman. I don't remember, but he was in there with Roman, and everybody thought they'll give him a moment with Roman, but at that time, we were in the middle of Roman being in the middle of everything and them being kind of tone-deaf to the fact that people were getting sick of it, him being the same character. And everybody thought that he was going to put up a good fight, but he was eventually going to lose and then go on from there. But he ends up winning on that episode of Raw. I forget if that was his birthday. I feel like that was his birthday or something. And he goes on to SummerSlam against Seth Rollins, against their kind of one of their chosen ones. It's Roman and Seth at this time. Now it's much more just Roman. And Seth has kind of shown himself to not necessarily be that guy. But at the time, Seth Rollins was absolutely that guy. And they're having a match at SummerSlam. And if I remember correctly, I think Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley are at ringside. Mick Foley being the general manager at that point. And they had the Universal title out there. I remember it was funny because the crowd was excited for Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, but they kept showing the Universal title, like this is what they're fighting for, and every time they showed it, the crowd booed. I was so proud of that crowd because they loved the match, but boy, we're going to let you know that belt looks stupid. They have a fantastic match at SummerSlam. At some point during that match, Seth Rollins, I think, goes to do his buckle bomb, except on the outside, like on those aprons, the dividers. And Finn lands weird. He, like, when he's falling backwards, he's leading with one arm, and that shoulder gets messed up. So they finish the match. Finn wins the Universal title. So forever, Finn Balor is the first Universal champion. That's a big deal. And his stock has never been higher, at least in WWE. And the next night, he comes out in a sling, and he has to relinquish the Universal title because he got injured on that move during that SummerSlam match with Seth Rollins. And they move on from him. He has his surgery, so on and so forth. Then he comes back, and I don't recall him ever really mentioning the fact that he was the first Universal Champion and that he never actually lost the title. He just had to relinquish it. He just kind of goes on from there, and he meanders around through no fault of his own. And he's in a triple threat match with The Miz and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins wins that. Finn, the night after on Raw, seems like the least important man in a segment with Jeff Hardy, Seth Rollins, and himself, which should not be the case in 2020, or rather in 2018 or 19 when that happened. And he goes on from there and basically doesn't do a whole lot. He has really good matches because that's what he does, but he's just a smiling baby face. He's just a good old good guy who's happy to be there. Not him the person, him the character. And he goes to next SummerSlam, and he faces The Fiend. This is The Fiend's first match. It's the first time we saw The Fiend's entrance, and it's the best that they've ever shot a Fiend entrance. It was legitimately like a horror movie. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, and if I'm honest, it's probably a lot of the reason that I'm still as big on The Fiend as I am, because I know the potential of it, because I saw it that night at SummerSlam. The crowd was chanting "Holy" at his entrance. That doesn't happen very often. And he gets beat down by The Fiend. That was the right thing to do for The Fiend debuting, but he takes some time off. I think he goes and gets married, and he does the smartest thing that he's done in quite a while, and presumably wants to go back to NXT. They grant him that request. He comes in. He turns to a bad guy. He has this new edge to him. He's not smiling. He's not happy to be there. He wants to beat people up. Karrion Kross is the NXT champion. He gets hurt winning the title, much the same Finn did. And Finn eventually wins through some convoluted matches the NXT title. And now Finn sits here as your NXT champion, more important than he was on the main roster. Probably more important or taken more seriously even than he was the first time he was in NXT. It's just interesting that WWE had this guy on the main roster for I don't even know how long, and he was just an afterthought. And he comes back to NXT, and he's one of the most important performers. Whether he has the NXT title or not, he's been that guy. It's just interesting to see how he was used on the main roster versus NXT. That's nothing new. That's why we get nervous every time somebody from NXT gets quote-unquote called up to the main roster. Yeah, you make more money, but you also will pay for it at some point down the line. So, Finn is here. He said, "Pete, you say you're done waiting. It looks like you're still hiding behind those two clowns," talking about Danny Burch and Money Lorcan. Pete says he doesn't hide from anyone. Pete Dunne calls off Lorcan and Burch. Finn gets in the ring. Pete says, "You better hold on tight to that title, because the first chance I get, it's mine." Finn says, "Well, you got your chance. Take over Vengeance Day. Pete versus Finn for the NXT title." Finally, we're doing it. This is great. Absolutely. And then, this isn't good enough yet, because Edge's friggin' music hits, and it's even better, and Edge looks so cool in NXT. Pete and Finn are doing a really good job of keeping a straight face. There's no way I'd be able to. I'd be too excited. They're doing a good job, but you know they were excited. I would have been totally unprofessional here. And boy, this is one of the moments more than anyone else that I wish there were a real crowd here, because a genuine NXT crowd with Edge there would have been losing their minds. The people on video screens were losing their minds, and it was louder than it's been in a while, but it still doesn't sound like a crowd. It's one of the few moments that stand above all else that I wish that there were a crowd there. Edge looks around, he says, "This feels good." He said, "A lot of time WWE puts the focus on the E, which is entertainment." He said, "But here in NXT, that focus is on that second W, which is wrestling. If you're curious, the first W is for world. For years, I watched this show like a fan. He says, I always saw passion, hunger, I saw fire in eyes. He said, what most people don't know is that this place helped me find my passion. He says, helped me find the passion to get my career back after 9 years, and I used that same passion to win the Royal Rumble this past Sunday. And by winning that Royal Rumble, I can challenge any champion in this company. Looks at the NXT title as he says that. He says, I look at you two, I see two of the damned best. He says he sees so much of himself, good and bad, in Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne shrugs. Ed said, I would have shrugged like that 10 years ago too, kid, or 20 years ago. He said, you, looking at Finn Balor, I see a guy who's operating on a whole different level in a zone that is special to watch. Ed says, I'm going to be watching your match at TakeOver because I've never had that. And he points to the NXT title. I'm such a dork. I got goosebumps doing that back. That's ridiculous. Says, I've never had that, and points at the NXT title. He says, no matter who wins your match, that is intriguing. Edge said, if I haven't made my choice by TakeOver, this fight may cause me to make my choice. And as I said at the beginning, it's not going to happen, but guys, what if it did? Just Pete Dunne or Finn Balor versus Edge for the NXT championship would be great. And they have a cool shot where Finn and Pete are face-to-face and Edge has backed up and he's kind of leaning back against the ropes and the camera's looking straight on. So you see them staring at each other and Edge kind of smiling and looking at both of them. It was a great camera shot. Edge is not going to come back, but boy, this was awesome. And it seemed like Edge had a lot of fun. And oh, I loved this so much. We go to commercial, we come back from commercial, and it's time for our Cruiserweight title match. Santos Escobar and Curtis Stallion are already in the ring because nothing says this is important like neither person having an entrance. Listen, they don't care about the Cruiserweight title. I don't either, you don't either. It sucks for everyone involved. I'm glad that they have something to do. I really am. Curtis Stallion and Santos Escobar have a really good match that doesn't have stakes, and he hits a Phantom Driver and a Legato to retain the title. So you knew that was coming. So all that build-up they were doing for Curtis Stallion, thank you for playing, gone somewhere. He looks over, and Scarlett's on a balcony right at the side, kind of looking over at him. And I figured this was just going to be her staring, but Karrion Kross actually comes out this time. He actually made the decision to come out himself and not just send his girl out for him. That's nice of him. See, this is interesting because this presentation of Karrion Kross works really well for me. Scarlett is the siren of bad things to come. She shows up, you know, something bad is going to happen. And then crucially, the part they have not done to this point much is Karrion Kross actually comes out and does bad things that were sirened. This works. If you have Scarlet as a harbinger of doom, that's great. But if you have a harbinger of doom, you need the doom. Because if you don't have the doom, you have a guy at a bar saying he'll beat up everybody in this bar. You actually at some point have to back it up. If Scarlet is a harbinger of doom and it leads to Karrion Kross actually coming out and bringing that doom, like he did here, that is fantastic. I like Karrion Kross. I just don't like the way they're presenting the character. This felt good. Scarlett felt kind of creepy, and Karrion Kross seemed like a truck that was coming forward and you weren't going to stop him. This, if they did it this way, would be fantastic. We'll see in the future if they keep doing that. The two other guys in Legato run out to Karrion Kross. He takes out both of them. Interestingly, Santos Escobar is still standing in the ring. He doesn't appear to be scared. He's almost smiling. And Karrion Kross gets in the ring, and Escobar doesn't run. That's actually pretty cool. That's interesting. Kross says, it seems like you and I have an ever-growing problem. He says, I'm going to give you the gift of time, which is a double-edged sword because it's more time to think about the inevitable. And he tells him to run along. This was a very cool detail that Santos Escobar, after he finishes talking, is very clearly pissed off about what he just said and telling him to run along like a child. He's clearly very, very mad, and for a split second, you can see on his face that he's about to say F it and just, you're not going to speak to me as a man that way. But then you also see the next split second reasoning coming over him, him still being mad, but him realizing this isn't the day to pick the fight. I just finished with a match. So you keep Karrion Kross strong, but you also do something for Santos Escobar because he's somebody that's not going to be spoken to any kind of way by anybody. But you also saw that moment of realization from, I'm going to kill you, to, this isn't the time or place. And eventually, although he is very clearly mad, he does run along. And the announcers made it clear that it's not for the cruiserweight title. So I don't know if Santos is going to lose that title before him and Karrion Kross get in a match, or if they're just going to have Karrion Kross beat up their cruiserweight champion. Either way, you certainly could do that. Scarlett got in the ring at some point and stood next to Karrion Kross, and I didn't see it. She's creepy. Again, this version of Karrion Kross and Scarlett is great. I sincerely hope that they keep this presentation going forward because this really worked well for me. Undisputed Era are in the back. Hey, Bobby Fish actually decided to be with the group this week. That's wonderful. I legitimately didn't know if they Pat McAfee'd him and just weren't going to mention him again, but he's back there, so he's here. I don't know. Edge is finishing talking to Bronson Reed before he's about to leave. Interviewer says, have you made a decision? And Edge says, no, I haven't. He said, but if I had, I probably wouldn't tell you. Karrion Kross walks up on him. Edge does not seem intimidated. He says, you have a very big decision to make. A moment you'll have to live with the rest of your life. Because at the end, it's not going to be Finn or Pete. It's going to be me taking back the title I never lost. Edge thinks about it for a second. He says, that sounds threatening. He said, words like that can be motivating. Might motivate me to come back. I don't know if that would be good for you. And he walks away. It's interesting that, like, Karrion Kross is a monster, but there's also respect there. And, like, you're not going to have Edge start an angle with somebody he's not going to have a match with, but it was a really cool moment of Karrion Kross being like, I'm the big guy here, and Edge basically punking him. I actually like it. I don't think it takes away from anybody. I think that's part of the reason Edge is here. He probably was more than happy to do that. That was just a really cool, like, Karrion Kross is this big monster, and Edge is like, I have faced The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think he has. I have definitely faced The Undertaker. You are not going to intimidate me in a parking lot. I liked that a lot. That was a cool moment. Edge had nothing but cool moments on this show. I hope we see him around at some other point. I don't think he's going to take a challenge even for the NXT title, but I do hope we see him maybe once or twice more in NXT. I feel like there's a lot of cool moments he can have. So we have, as our main event, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong versus Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa in the quarterfinal of the Dusty Classic. Strong, at the end of this match, takes out Thatcher on the outside. Adam Cole's already been taken out. Then Strong goes to get back in the ring. He's coming through the ropes, and he gets DDT'd through the ropes by Tommaso Ciampa. And Ciampa and Thatcher pick up the win. This was a war. Loved it. All four of these dudes are great singles wrestlers. You put them in a tag team match, and they basically have two singles matches. And it was great, and the right team won. This is a war. Loved it. They did a good job this week of building the tag team matches. Like, nothing as crazy happened from a physicality standpoint in either of the opening matches that would take away from this match. And this match wasn't as high-flying as, like, Legado and Lucha House Party, so all of them were unique. That's cool. They haven't done that all the time, but this one was built really well. This definitely should have been your main event. And so Ciampa and Thatcher are going to be facing the grizzled young veterans in the semifinals. So I think we're about to have an exit by the grizzled young veterans. So that is the end of our show. I thought it was a really fun episode of NXT. These are my favorites, where you have a lot of good wrestling and you have some cool moments mixed in. I feel like Edge really brought a lot to the show. I wasn't sure what they were going to do with him, but I know Edge's whole thing on this run, however long it is to put people over. And whenever this run does end, I think we'll look back at it similar to how we look back at Shawn Michaels. He hurt his back in the 90s. He was gone for a while. He came back in the 2000s, and he had a Hall of Fame career. And I think that Edge can put in he was already in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so, but I think he's going to have a couple Hall of Fame years coming up, because this is a different kind of Edge. We finally get Pete Dunne and Finn Balor at TakeOver, so that is going to be great. I don't know what we're doing with Karrion Kross after that. Kind of hoping Pete Dunne wins. I'm liking Pete Dunne right now, but if Finn Balor wins, I'm certainly not going to be upset. So, you could let me know what you thought. I'm always on Twitter, at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Let me know what you thought of the show tonight. Who do you think's going to win the Dusty Classic on the men and women's side? What are you excited for at TakeOver? Who do you think our NXT champion's going to be? Who do you want to see Edge face at WrestleMania? Do you want to see it against Roman? Do you want to see Drew? Do you want to see Finn or Pete Dunne? Let me know over there. In the meantime, that has been our episode for this week. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.